Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. That's Sir Elton bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, for the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Elizabeth Rush is here. She's the author of You Call This Democracy, How to Fix Our Government and Deliver Power to the People. We're talking about an act called For the People Act. It's also often known as H.R. 1, sometimes H.R. 1S1. And it's all about voting, primarily. Elizabeth, thanks again for being here. It's about federal standards for voting, right? And are these federal standards? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's some of it. I mean, there's also money in there to upgrade election security, which I think most Americans want. There's some things about disclosure of political spending so that citizens, when they're making decisions, can know where money is coming from.
Yeah.
And also, some really good anti-corruption legislation.
Is that all money, including with if a rich person donates money to a regional, to a specific state or something like that, does it include all that money as well, not just money?
Yeah. So it includes money to all kinds of organizations that are, I think in earlier campaign finance reform, people tried to say, well, okay, if the money's not going to the candidate, then we don't need to know about it. But I think what we've learned is that there's all kinds of money, in elections that we can't really track. And I think citizens need to know if there's, say, a measure on the ballot and some outside force is putting a whole bunch of money behind it. I think it's important that Americans know that. There's also some really strong anti-corruption legislation measures in there.
One of the most controversial part though is the voting part, right? The physical voting part. There's the remote voting or mail-in ballots. That's really the controversial part, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's really controversial. I mean, before the 2020 election, there were five states that vote by mail. Where I live, we've been voting by mail since 2000. And, it's very popular among Republicans, Democrats, and independents.
How do you vote by mail and maintain integrity, though? Because, as you know, some of the states voted by mail this year who weren't ready for that. Florida was in good shape. They were ready for it. But other states weren't because they hadn't done it before and it was thrust upon them. How do we get that kind of efficiency and integrity?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, a lot of states, because of COVID, had to do things really differently. And I think that was really challenging. And I think that one of the things that the federal government can do is actually, support voting. So in places where, we've been doing vote by mail for a long time, kind of sharing information and actually, putting some money towards elections so that states that want to do it right. Like here in Oregon, they review every signature. So you sign the outside mm-hmm. of the ballot and they review every signature. And there was one year my husband fell backwards out of a truck and broke both of his wrists.
Wow.
And his ballot got flagged because his signature looked different.
Ah.
And so the
that was a problem in a number of states, Elizabeth, where that kind of integrity was not maintained, and it created a lot of issues.
I think that having the federal government helping states, and also I think some of these things by standardizing them, it also can make it easier, cheaper, and more efficient for states to run elections as well. So
isn't there a constitutional issue though that has to be resolved? Doesn't the Constitution say that the election decisions, the election process is left to the states?
Yeah. So, I think like everything else in our country, there's a balance between states' rights and protecting citizens and ensuring, smooth, fair, secure elections.
Right.
All Americans should have equal access to voting and equal say in elections, and our elections need to be secure, and our citizens need to know that they are secure. The states will still be running elections. They'll just get more support.
One thing is a concern, though. If we have less and less, and I think there's even less today, confidence in our federal government, a lot of people don't like the idea of giving them more say over our lives with the HR1. They really think that the states should still be in control of that. Can you see why they would feel that way?
Yeah, the states will still be running elections. But, like, for instance, there was a lot of concern about oversight of, the counting of the ballot. And this would, kind of standardize that so that there was oversight everywhere. Some of the states that do it the best, it's like they've got video cameras running in the rooms where the ballots are being counted. They have, paper ballots that you can track.
Hold on to that thought, Elizabeth. When we come back, I want to talk about technology in this and also voter ID. Is voter ID going to be part of HR1? I'm in favor of voter ID myself. I think everybody who you have to get an ID to get on an airplane, you should be able to have that to vote, too. After the break, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.